In fact, it has degraded. But then Krishna consciousness is degraded into Sahajism, leadership is degraded into politics, medicine leads to drug abuse. That doesn't mean that just because something is misused, it should not be used. And Srila Prabhupada did want us to use it. So let's hear what the authorities say, which starts with the Lord himself when he's talking to Uddhava, and he's saying this:
as long as one is not satiated by fruitive activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, one has to act according to the regulative principles of the Vedic injunctions.
So 2 points here that Krishna is saying. Number one, as long as there are material desires, and number two, until one has a real ruchi, an overwhelming taste for devotional service, for hearing about Krishna, for Krishna Katha, then one is obliged to remain within the confines of the Varnashram system in order to become free from material desires and in order to cultivate this very, very strong desire for hearing about Krishna. And that, and then Krishna says, whoops, he said something else. I guess that was... And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Therefore, the Varnashram system should be accepted in all respects. By this arrangement, there is a possibility of gradually attaining love for Krishna. There is no fault in the rejection of the relatively less important process of Varnashram by those who have attained perfection in the form of love for Krishna.
Krishna Samhita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that when one is up on the platform of prema, then he's aloof. He may be aloof from Varnashram if he's not preaching, and if that's not his duty to engage the world in a proper social structure. But otherwise, one is obliged. And then he gives a definition.
One who does not follow the rules and regulations of Varnashram is called a Yavana.
Okay, and then of course, ultimately, what does Srila Prabhupada say? And Srila Prabhupada said many things, and I'm sure you're versed in some of the things that Srila Prabhupada did say. I'm going to select, this is a conversation in 1977, in February, so it's quite late on in Srila Prabhupada's time with us. And it's Prabhupada's train of thought that we'll also hear that comes up when Srila Prabhupada is already on his deathbed and ready to leave this world. So, Prabhupada is talking to Satsarup Maharaj, Harisori Prabhu, and some other Vaishnavas.
Satsarup. Lord Chaitanya, when Ramananda Roy brought this up, he said it was not possible in this age to introduce this.
Here, Prabhupada is directly answering this first question.
Prabhupada, yes. Not, he did not say possible. Iha Bahya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was interested only on the spiritual platform. He had no idea of material side. He rejected material side. Satsarup. But don't we do that also? Prabhupada. No. Our position is different. We are trying to implement Krishna consciousness in everything. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally took sannyas. He rejected completely material, Nishkinchana. But we are not going to be Nishkinchana.
So pretty clear, we're not going to reject Varnashram.
Prabhupada. Chanting will go on. That is not stopped. But at the same time, the Varnashram Dharma must be established to make the way easy. Harishari. Well, at least my own understanding was that the chanting was introduced in the age of Kali because Varnashram is not possible. Prabhupada. Because it will cleanse the mind. Chanting will not stop.
This is a discussion on chanting Hare Krishna versus Varnashram.
Just like the Sahajis also have got the beads, but they have got 3 dozen women. This kind of chanting will go on, just like our name withheld. He was not fit for sannyas, but he was given sannyas. And 5 women he was attached and he disclosed. Therefore, Varnashram Dharma is required. Simply Shobhatul will not do. So the Varnashram Dharma should be introduced all over the world and, Satrup, introduced starting with ISKCON community.
It's something that you'll see just in this conversation. Prabhupada, he has to keep repeating himself over and over again to incredulous disciples. Is this for real? This has to happen in ISKCON? Oops, sorry. Let's finish reading what we had there.
Prabhupada. Prabhupada, yes, yes, Brahmana, Kshatriyas, there must be regular education. Harishari. But in our community, if the beings we're training up as Vaishnavas, Prabhupada, yes, Harishari, then how will we be able to make divisions in our society, Prabhupada? Vaishnava is not so easy. The Varnashram Dharma should be established to become a Vaishnava. It is not so easy to become Vaishnava.
So Vaishnava is like a common name that we use. We call Sukadeva Goswami a Vaishnava, Prabhupada is a Vaishnava, we're a Vaishnava, of course Vaishnava Das. But there's a lot of difference between different types of Vaishnavas. So Srila Prabhupada says, it's to make the way easy. It's to make the way, the path of chanting, to make that easy. To make the path of devotional service easy. Why? Because Varnashram raises one to the mode of goodness, and that's where Krishna consciousness becomes easy. The next conversation.
Satsarup. If in our society we say, Srila Prabhupada wants some to be Shudra, Prabhupada. No, I don't want. I want everyone to become Vaishnava. But because he is a Shudra, it is not possible to bring him immediately to the platform of Brahmana or Vaishnava, therefore falling down. Therefore, system must be. But even if he remains a Shudra, he's a Vaishnava.
And, continuing this,
Harishari. So we'd have to completely revise the whole system that we have now, Prabhupada. No. Whatever we have, that is all right. But we see by experience that they are falling down. That must be systematic. Why falling down? Because he was not fit for the position, therefore he has fallen. Better remain in his position and become perfect. Why artificially bring them? There is no need.
The Srila Prabhupada is referring first to, or earlier, to sannyasi falling down. But it's an overall perception that Srila Prabhupada had that devotees are having difficulty just with the basic principles of Krishna consciousness, chanting 16 rounds. In another conversation, he's saying they can't even chant 16 rounds and they're going to be like Lord Chaitanya to follow the regulative principles. So why? Because our modes of material nature, our conditioning is so strong that even these basic criteria of Vaishnavism is difficult for us, and therefore we need a systematic, regulated lifestyle that will assist us with that, which requires, and as Srila Prabhupada always says, training, training, training. So basically it means training in how to actually be a good person and a good Vaishnava. Rather than what sometimes we do is we start off training everyone how to become transcendentalists. But that's a big jump. And as Prabhupada sometimes said, first be conscious and then be Krishna conscious. And a little more about that later. And here's Prabhupada's last conversation, or this is the second to last.
Harishari, at this time should we try to introduce it in our centers?
Or again, the same question. Can't believe it.
Prabhupada. Always we shall try. Human society will be always there. We have to serve them. Para upakar. We have to keep them in the right position. Harishari. I just remember 2 or 3 years ago, there was a thing. A pamphlet came out about introducing the Varnashram system in the society, but actually nothing came of it. Prabhupada. Yes. That time was not right. Now you can do something.
So I also remember this pamphlet. It wasn't contextual. It didn't come out. It was sometime in 73, 74, or maybe 74, 75. Just a little brochure about Varnashram. And Harisari Prabhu is referring to that. Yeah, but the significant thing is that Prabhupada said, well, the time wasn't right. But you can try something now. Well, that was almost 40 years ago. So it seems like if time was ripe 40 years ago, it's more than ripe at the present time. And Srila Prabhupada is making very clear what his desire is. All right, and then?
Satsarup, but the people are not at our disposal to organize, Harishari. You are thinking of we, because actually we only have our own society at the moment to organize. Satsarup, we cannot approach the masses to organize, Harishari. It can be implemented on such a big scale, Prabhupada. I do not follow what you say, Satsarup. Just like, Prabhupada, ideal, we are giving the ideal, Satsarup. But no one's listening and no one's taking it up except a few, Prabhupada. But you take, you show them, Harishari. That's why we say we, Prabhupada, that we said means not we are going to take them, but we are simply giving the ideas. We're not going to be a Shudra, but to surely, just like you play in a drama, you're playing the part of a king, you're not a king. Are you sure? No, Prabhupada. So similarly, just to give them idea, we have to play like that. Hari Shari. Well, again, that's Prabhupada. Not necessarily that we're going to be Shudra. So that is it. That is the thing. We are servant of Krishna. That's all. And as servant of Krishna, we have to execute the order of Krishna. Satsarup. So we can ideally organize ourselves, and then for the rest of the people, all we can do is hope that they'll follow it. Prabhupada. Yes. Bhavananda. Set the example. Prabhupada. In order to serve the mass of people, to bring them to the ideal position, we should try to introduce this Varnashram, not that we are going to be candidates of Varnashram. It is not our business. But to teach them how the world will be in peaceful position, we have to introduce.
So, 2 points. One, which of course we can't overemphasize, is that Nahambipro, Nacharapati, Napivaisho, Nashudra, we're not Shudras, we're not Brahmins, we're not Vaishas, we're Vaishnavas, or we're servants of Vaishnavas. And that is the identity of devotees in well, we're not going to read that particular thing, but when Narada Muni in the seventh canto introduces Varnashram, and there are two parts in Bhagavatam which deal with Varnashram, there are five chapters in the seventh canto, and there's two chapters in the 11th canto, which is a lot. That's seven chapters out of 180, that's about 4% of the entire Bhagavatam. And here in Narada is pointing out that, ooh, I just lost my train of thought. It happens sometimes. Senior moments. What was I talking about just earlier before I diverged to Bhagavatam? Anyway, there's no, I can't hear what you're prompting me out there. Anyway, there were 2 points. One is that yes, we're Vaishnavas. And nonetheless, the rest of the society is not Vaishnava. Or, and this is the point that I was saying, is that Yudhisthira Maharaj is asking Narada, please tell me how human society can come to perfection, devotional service. So for the rest of the world, perfection means that they come to devotional service. And that's the point of Varnashram for the world around us. We're extremely fortunate because we have already attained the perfection, which is that we know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and know the process of attaining Him is pure devotional service. But for us, as we've seen earlier, for us the process of Varnashram helps us to actually work through the stages of pure devotional service from faith to at least the transcendental platform. And so our identity is as Vaishnava. The identity of those who have not come to Varnashram, what is their social identity? Then you have Brahmins, then you have Vaishyas, then you have Shudras, then you have Grihasthas. But once you come to devotional service, then your identity is Vaishnava. And that's why Arche Vishnu Guru Matir Vaishnava Jayati Bhuthi. Don't call a Vaishnava by his jat, by his birth. You can call someone who's not a Vaishnava by that, but don't call someone else. So the other point was, is that in his conversations, discussions, lectures, preaching, Prabhupada has pointed out to us so many times that regardless of what kind of social system, what kind of social structure or politics and policies exist in the world around us, they all lead to one place. One may be democracy, there may be fascism here, there may be communism there, but ultimately everyone's going to hell. Because people are being fed the same idea of sense gratification just through different types of containers. And ultimately, they've come to the human form of life, and they're going to lose the human form of life. But tasya kartanam apimam. But this is the social system that Srila Prabhupada set in place. Excuse me, that Krishna set in place, and that Srila Prabhupada wants us to teach the rest of the world. Because this is the social system that will elevate others, whereas all the other social systems degrade. It's happening before our eyes. I've seen through three generations and seen how much the world has changed. And sometimes when you meet New Agers, they say that everyone's becoming spiritual. I don't know which universe they live in, but the one I live in, things aren't becoming spiritual. They're going just in the opposite direction. So this was Srila Prabhupada's desire, and just in order to cement that, I'd like to show you briefly a little video clip. October 21st, 1977. Your
Honor.
Loud enough?
In many, many forms.
Says to stay in Sattva Guna. He really wants to emphasize it. So
we need it because Krishna, the Acharyas, and Prabhupada said we do.
And what are the points?
Why do we need it? We are a society for Krishna consciousness, but now we are the church for Krishna consciousness.
Prabhupada calls it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It refers to Krishna consciousness as a spiritual culture that's meant to revitalize the whole world. A religion in Hungary, we're legally called a church, is just a very small part of society. It doesn't embrace and it doesn't influence people's recreation, people's work, people's home life, the way people eat, the way people sleep, the way people do everything. One ashram is about everything. It's Krishna's instructions for how to live, karma, guna, karma, vibhagasa. What are the codes of conduct that govern those who want to come to the mode of goodness? In other words, Krishna has something to say about everything that we do in life. Now, we may not like that, but then prakriti kriyamanani, if it's not Krishna who has something to say about everything that we do, then it's the modes of material nature. So the choice then becomes ours, and we need to see beyond just being a religion, we need to see beyond being a Hare Krishna movement, Krishna consciousness movement, we need to be a spiritual society, a spiritual culture.
Devotees need the behavioral guidelines to practice bhakti and come to and stay in goodness.
Prabhupada keeps saying, but they're falling down. What percentage of our initiated devotees actually stick with their vows of initiation? Why? Prabhupada would say, but you promised. Sometimes he was incredulous when a gentleman gives his word. So there are so many other things, everyone has heard them, but ultimately in the mode of goodness, a person's word is as good as his life. So that type of values is what actually requires to be Krishna conscious.
We need to show the example to the world because other social structures degrade people, but Varnashram elevates them.
I've already commented on that. We see the direction the world is going, and it doesn't matter what social system, it doesn't matter how good a political system they come up with, democracy, it doesn't work. It's not really possible for it to work. And of course, that's one of the real consequences of embracing Varnashram is embracing the consequences of a different lifestyle, the different values that Varnashram implies. There's nothing wrong with democracy, but it just means that everyone who votes has to be a qualified voter. That doesn't mean that they have to be of a certain age, it means they have to be of a certain caliber. And Prabhupada said, if they're like dogs and cats, then all they're going to do is vote in dogs and cats. If we want them to vote in a Yudhisthira Maharaj, they have to have that type of discrimination, and they have to be willing to accept things like sense control, lowering the standard of living instead of increasing it, and so many other things which people are not going to vote for, at least not these people. So we need it. We need to show the example. I know that when I preach and I talk about Varnashram, and I don't mean by Varnashram just being farms, that's just a very small part of Varnashram, but when we talk about the ideal social structure, because we're very good at shooting holes into the world around us, but what's our alternative? As you know, our alternative something we talk about, or is our alternative something that we actually can show? And that's what Srila Prabhupada wanted. We need to show it. And that's part of our mission. And Srila Prabhupada indeed said that this is half of my mission. So in these days, prior to leaving the world, at least on two occasions, Prabhupada said, or even lamented, that he was not able to establish Varnashram. And for that reason, in a completely infirm condition where he couldn't even walk and he had to lay across three airplane seats, Prabhupada came to the West, wanted to come to Gita Nagari with the purpose of showing us how to establish Varnashrama.
What are we doing in Hungary?
Okay, Shivaram Swami is talking. What is he doing? Well, I don't do very much, but at least I try to work with the leaders of the Hungarian Yatra, and we're working on studying and exploring how we can try to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desires as we understand it here in Hungary. This is what we've been doing.
A 32-member National Council met in January to discuss how Varnashram is our mission. We agreed to work out a 5-year plan.
Our leaders meet once a year. This is an extended leadership group. We have a national council that meets 2 to 3 times a year. We have a management council that meets every 2 weeks, who fulfills the day-to-day management of the vision that the national council gives. And the vision is actually worked out at this annual meeting with some other senior devotees involved. And this year we spent 3 days, 8 hours a day, isolated, not in any of the temples, devotees together, reading Prabhupada's books, listening to Srila Prabhupada's lectures on Varnashram, talking, having workshops, in order to try to understand what are we supposed to do. It's not an easy thing. If it was about doing Harinam and increasing book distribution, hey, we know what to do. At least we know what to do, whether we're going to do it or not, or whether we can do it. But here, this is a whole new field that we talk a lot about. But how much do we really understand about Varnashram? So we explored the idea and we worked out a 5-year plan.
For now, we focus on 2 points.
And these 2 points were the following.
Education and devotees' general qualities.
And?
Relationship and interaction between men and women.
When we were studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and our main focus was on the 7th canto, chapters 11, 12, and 14, 15. 13 was about sannyasis, so that would have taken up a lot of time from the others, so we left that for a later date. But we saw, what is Bhagavatam, what is Bhagavad Gita, what does Srila Prabhupada talk about when he talks about Varnashram? And the common theme is always the qualities that people have, the qualities that the citizens in a Varnashram society have, which, if, as Prabhupada wanted, ISKCON should be that society to show the example. So then what qualities do devotees have to have? And we want to study that ourselves, and we want to educate the devotees in that. And that would be this year, 2015, this would be our main focus, and it has been. That's been, I'd say, 80% of my talking. I've been talking and doing seminars, traveling around the country, speaking about Varnashram. And then what will we do next year? Well, the second thing that we noticed was that one of the most pressing issues, which is also one of the main themes of Varnashram, is the regulation of men and women's conduct since Punksastriya Maitani Bhavameta. Since this is what has brought us down here, tying us down here, keeping us here. So what is the ideal in terms of men and women's conduct? That we will work on next year. And we want to be able to work out systems for this, educational material, and start teaching this, but I'll get to that also.
We also set up a Varnashrama Dharma Committee.
Varnashrama Dharma Committee, myself, Radhakrishna Prabhu, his wife, Maharani Devadasi, who's the rector of our Bhakti College, and then also Pranabalava. And between the five of us, we meet every 2 weeks for half a day. This morning, we spent 3 hours. So we really go deeply into the subject, and we also go into practical implementation.
I made a seminar on qualities that I now teach in an 8-hour course to all centers. I also do an ongoing Varnashram series on podcasts.
This seminar on qualities is the way Narada starts his dissertation on Varnashram. First he talks about what's the basic criteria for everyone. Be they Shudra, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, they're just a common denominator for everyone. And then, based upon what someone's individual guna is, then some of these will be more emphasized and more developed than others, and that then will determine whether that person is a Kshatriya, is a Vaishya, should be remain a Brahmachari, can be a Grihastha. So I'm spending a lot of time, as I had already mentioned.
Varnashram Dharma Committee is working on a code book, The Qualities of a Good Person or Devotee.
Since I made this, we've changed the title, but this is the idea. We're working on a handbook, which is somewhere between about 84 and 100 pages. It's almost complete. I'm writing it in such a way that it'll be also available in English, because I write in English, I can't write in Hungarian. And then it'll get translated into Hungarian. And that will be the basis of what does it mean to actually be a good person. And good person is the basis for becoming a good Vaishnava. This isn't really something new, it's something that everyone has heard before.
It will be edited, approved, and printed.
It will be approved again by the National Council, and then once it's approved, then it'll come out in print. Originally, we were going to do that for the beginning of October before I left for India, but now we're going to do it for the end of the year when we'll have our both Christmas marathon and also our New Year's Eve when most of the devotees are present.
And then taught in 2016 throughout the Yatra.
And next year, this will then become incorporated in the educational system of the Yatra. We will be teaching it in our college in Bhakti to the students who are there. We'll teach it in the Bhakti program, we'll teach it in the Gurukul, teach it in the counselor system, and we'll have classes on it. The counseling will be based on, how is a person supposed to conduct themselves? What does it mean to actually be responsible as a Grihastha, responsible as a businessman or as a Vaishya? So based upon the template drawn from this book, we'll also have a instruction course or course material, then we'll start teaching this.
Next, in 2016, we will have a similar training, then a code book on the interaction between men and women, which will be incorporated into our education system in 2017.
So same thing. Next year we will start teaching this to the devotees, and during the year we'll be working on this guidelines for interaction between ladies and gentlemen, and what that means for us in ISKCON from different angles and perspectives. Small book, we're hoping that this will be our Varnashram handbook that will be a set of law books, guidebooks, handbooks for the future, and then that will be go through the same process of editing, approval, printing, and then we'll start teaching that in 2017.
The scope of Varnashram, devotees, the world.
Okay, and it will continue on for the next 5 years, or at least we're working now on what will we do in 2017, 18, 19, and then teach in 20. And as we meet together and discuss, the scope of the whole thing becomes to unfold. To be quite honest, it's quite frightening. I didn't join this movement to become a social architect. or to, in fact, I joined this movement like most of you to get away from society, not to actually, well, integrate with it is one thing that we've done over the last years, but now to actually build a whole new social structure, I'd like to say what Lord Chaitanya said, it's not for me. But anyway, that's not what Prabhupada wanted. So the scope of Varnashram is for the devotees, that's for us, and Prabhupada wanted it for the world. Save the people, give them an alternative to where they're headed right now, which is that they're going to lose their human form of life. And so for devotees, what do we do?
Society means principles, structure, politics, education, economy. Remember, we are basing everything on the Bhagavatam.
There's a lot of other things here as well. What makes up a society? We're starting with the principles. What does it take to make a qualified person who's not an outcast? Just today I was looking at Srimad Bhagavatam where Krishna's talking to Uddhava and he says, persons who are always lusty, who can't follow regular principles, etc., etc., don't belong in society. So they live out in the forest. Principles, you have to start with a principle, with a philosophy. Every society has a social philosophy underlying it. Communism, it's for shooters, it's for the workers, it's the workers' society. It doesn't really work, even though they may have sort of wiped out a whole generation of Russian intellectuals and so many others, but nonetheless there was still the leaders, and ultimately this Varnashram system comes up because it's in our genes. You can't avoid it. There's always workers, there's always people who have their Varna, who are Vaishyas, who know how to make money, and we're always thinking about that. There are those who are leaders, and those who are the intellectual class of people, and of course ashramas is even more self-evident, at least nowadays we call students, can't really call them brahmacharis, but that's student life, then there's the household life, married life, and then retirement. Sannyas, world outside us doesn't take, and retirement doesn't really equate to vanaprastha, but still it's a dim reflection of the thing. But principles, and we need to have our principles very clear before we begin and move forward. Structure, interestingly enough, that Bhagavatam doesn't talk about structure. We see that Varnashram was in the context of monarchy, and it's certainly much easier to get, for instance, a qualified monarch to rule over with some qualified Brahmins as advisors and some other few qualified Kshatriyas to rule over a mass of people than to qualify the mass of people to be able to recognize what's good for them. Because they don't, and they won't. Which is another phenomena of Varnashram, is that the, by and large, the majority of people in society have nature of Shudras. Shudras means that they shouldn't have freedom. They shouldn't be allowed to decide on their own. They don't know what to do with it. Neither they know what to do with their money. Neither they know what to do with their freedom. Neither they know who to vote for. And so you got what you got. And Srila Prabhupada criticizes this to no end. The demon crazy. And yesterday I was listening to him talking about democracy, and he said, yes, demon crazy. But at least before, the demons were intelligent. Now they're also crazy. So, and then you have, the structure is not there. But of course, obviously, you need a structure. And whatever the structure is, Srila Prabhupada said, people need to be qualified. When the issue comes up with Prabhupada, the monarchy doesn't work. Prabhupada says monarchy works. But if you don't have a qualified monarch, then it doesn't work. But similarly, democracy doesn't work either, because you don't have qualified voters, and you don't have qualified leaders either. That's why you keep voting them out. So structure, there needs a structure, and obviously there needs to be a certain type of education. And ultimately, economy. Because every society is based on an economy. Every country in the world of 190, or say about 200 countries in the world, they have different types of economies which sustain themselves. Our society has book distribution and fundraising, but you don't maintain many countries just on book distribution and fundraising, albeit the most important thing. We spend vast, vast amounts of money. For instance, here in Hungary, when I was traveling around, I asked devotees, how much do you spend on boga on a monthly basis, a family? And generally say the average is $200. And here in Hungary, I would say that we have $1,200 a month. We have 1,000 devotee families. And I said, okay, that's 200,000 a month times 12 is... is $2.5 million. He says, we spend $2.5 million a year, and that goes to support Tesco's and other Karmi, big shopping centers and big chains, global chains, from whom they purchase boga. If we actually had an economic structure, we would be doing what Srila Prabhupada said. And if you give that two and a half, and that's this one little country, Hungary, so with $2.5 million in New Rajadam, we could be employing 100 families over there to actually do the gardening, the cow protection, and so on, if we're actually convinced about making Varnashram. But we're going to have put economy there. And we're going to have to accept that, well, maybe the boga that comes, maybe the tomatoes that come from New Rajadam, they're not going to look like what comes in Tesco's. But what comes in Tesco's isn't a tomato. It's chemicals that's painted to look like a tomato. But what's in New Rajadam is actually a real tomato, even though it may not have the same beautiful color as what comes out of the shop. So, economy. Are we willing to do that? The GBC last year and the year before has been encouraging to support our farms, to purchase from our farms. But then it goes back to principles. Do we believe in it? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to either cut our milk consumption by two-thirds? Because it'll cost three times as much to buy milk from ISKCON farms. Why? Because our milk is not subsidized by cow slaughter. It's not subsidized by tax on cigarettes and alcohol. So therefore you have to pay for what it costs. Are we willing to do that? So it's a question of values again. But without an economy, we can't really solve our own problems, what to speak of, show the rest of the world what to do. So this is one sort of major shift in direction. Are we willing to actually make this type of sacrifice? And what to speak of, employ 100 devotees, support 100 families, in New Rajadam. We would be able to have devotees who would be transporting around the country. We could have shops in our temples, or we could even have shops outside the temples. And the truth of the matter is that many non-devotees would be a lot more eager for this than devotees. They're willing to spend more for quality food. They're willing to spend more in order to get actually real, bio, good karma, tomatoes, potatoes, and everything else, and wheat and milk. Sometimes devotees need to make this shift, but this is part of Varnashram. All right, and I'm going on. And I'd also mention that in studying this subject of Varnashram, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot everywhere. Srila Prabhupada had said a lot. Manu Samhita, so many other Dharma Shastras speak about Varnashram. The essence of all scriptures is Srimad Bhagavatam. So we started off with Bhagavatam, and we're going on the basis of the Bhagavatam. So what are the principles that we're starting with?
Qualification. Characteristics of Varnas and Ashramas. Duties of Varnas and Ashramas. Roles of women and men.
These are just some qualification. Just today in our Varnashram Dharma meeting, I was asked not to use the example I've been using up to now. I've been using the example that we are like bricks. In other words, if you give the example of society being a structure, a building. A building, the integrity of a building is only as good as the bricks inside of it. If the bricks are not fired properly, if they're not made of the right type of material, then it doesn't matter how nice doors, windows, floor, decor, lighting, everything you have, the whole thing's going to implode. They didn't like this because it seemed to be a commune, referred to some communist time when everyone just got to be a brick and you got nothing to say, you're just part of the structure. And then another member also mentioned that there had something to do with Pink Floyd and the wall, and that if we're just another brick in the wall, so I hadn't really mentioned, but the alternative is, think of a cell in the body, and that was a good one. If the cell is not healthy, if it's cancerous, the body becomes sick. So every cell has to have a proper structure, a proper identity. It has to have qualification. And for me, this was one thing that really turned on a lot of lights in understanding that we bring people to Krishna consciousness, we teach them, they're not this body, and yet at the same time, we don't begin by saying, what does it mean to be a good person? We sort of take it for granted that they know that. Why? And the qualities of a good person, which you'll see, which Narada Muni requires, is really quite high. And we're not necessarily teaching people that. That's why we're trying to go back to that and also include that in our education of devotees rather than first telling them about what their swarup is. Of course, we don't tell them what their swarup is, but this is where we're pointing everyone, trying to actually point them to find out first what you are, and then what you are, and then find out what you really should be as a conditioned soul, so that you can practice Krishna consciousness and become a liberated soul. So qualifications, and then the characteristics of the varnas and ashramas. These are, of course, things that you know, and they're really quite general, and not the characteristics, but also what are the duties or the responsibilities. And as I mentioned also, specific roles for men and women, because now it separates the two. He talks about varnas and ashramas, and then he gives the special role for women, which is another issue, whether we're willing to take this hot potato up in the modern egalitarian society, where housewife is next thing to a curse. That if you call someone a housewife, that means that they're cursed. But this is actually what Narada seems to imply. Not imply, but he makes it very clear and very vocal as the primary identity of ladies in a varnashram society. Okay, and family tradition. What children are actually learning at home? And what are they bringing over from other generation to generation to generation? Education isn't just taking place in the school or in the gurukul, but the parents are the first gurus. They play a most important role in children's lives, not only their first formative years, but obviously they're teaching them throughout the rest of their lives. Pressed it by mistake. Throughout the rest of their lives. And they're teaching them how to become adults, how to be parents. You don't become a parent just because you're biologically of age, but somehow or another you become taught. How have you become taught to become a father, a mother, a husband, a wife? That's something, family tradition. Narada emphasizes family tradition. It's something that we're realizing could be one of our one-year projects that we need to emphasize, is that devotees at home, I'll give you one example. When I was giving the seminar in New Vrindavan, I was asking one of our pujaris, I said, such and such, when you're at home, do you talk to your daughter about your service and the deity worship? Now she wants to be a pujari, or at least she did want to be a pujari. Now she wants to be a teacher, but she's 13 years old, very, very nice girl, the first girl actually born, first devotee born in New Vrindavan. And he's been a pujari for 15 years, very solid, very steady. And he said, no. And I almost fell off my chair. I wasn't on my chair. I was standing, but almost fell over. I couldn't believe that someone who's in the pujari department 8 hours a day with his daughter who wants to be a pujari, he doesn't talk about this and start preparing her for what that actually really means. Family tradition, a very important part of life. Now, economy.
Without it, there is no society. Some economic aspects are?
I already went ahead of myself earlier.
Maintaining farms by buying goods.
We talked about this.
Devotee-friendly businesses.
We have a nice system in Hungary where a lot of our devotees many of our devotees are engaged. Wait, that's the same as a lot. No, some of our devotees are engaged in working for other devotees. And I say a lot, or some, because a lot of devotees don't quite have the kind of work ethic that is really required often from people who are really used to working out. In other words, they think that the Mangala Arati, chanting the rounds, should be an integral part of their sort of wage packet, but that doesn't really go down very well with employers. But anyway, we have devotees who make it a policy to employ devotees, especially those devotees who have been in the temples for 5 years, 10 years, and don't want to continue on as full-time devotees or missionaries, but who actually want to be maintainers. We call them maintainers. It's not the great congregation devotee. So we need devotee-friendly businesses.
Trading amongst ourselves?
We do business amongst ourselves. This is what other religious communities do. They don't, when they want someone to fix their computer, they just don't go to anybody. They go to a devotee who fixes computers. When they want someone to do something else, they go amongst that. This is the way the Jewish community works. This is the way other religious communities work.
Employing youth and devotees.
And this is something that, for instance, I see goes well in Mayapur. They try to do that. Other centers, I've seen this sort of movement of engaging our youth, because Varnashram really means what is the next generation going to do, and we really need to give them a vision. We need to be able to give them a future within Krishna consciousness, and for that we need a social structure. Yes, where they can go out and distribute books, and for those devotees whose parents are missionaries and want to be full-time, that's my preaching, at least they should go out 2, 3, 4 years and learn what missionary life is about. But then they should be able to do other types of things. And working with non-devotees is very, very difficult. And unless someone's a Vaishya, which means that they will be self-employed by nature, in other words, they'll figure out how to stand on their feet. If they need employment, then that means that going to work with non-devotees, it's going to be a great challenge for them to maintain their Krishna consciousness, especially the standard of Krishna consciousness they were brought up with.
Structure. No emphasis given in the Bhagavatam.
I've discussed this also.
Therefore, take it as being secondary and flexible.
It is flexible, so we don't have to get into, and we're not taking this as an issue here in Hungary that we've got to worry about monarchies and so on. Right now, we've got a structure when Hari Saraprabhu said, so that means completely we have to revamp. Prabhupada says, no, we just work with what we've got. Now we're talking about ISKCON. So ISKCON's got a structure. Let's work out Varnashram within ISKCON's structure.
Good, because we're not a state.
Which is good, but unfortunately it also has its drawbacks.
Could fit into different systems other than monarchy, which is also good.
Yeah, although sometimes we've had some monarchs in our movement, but we see that it doesn't work that well, and it wasn't the system that Srila Prabhupada necessarily gave.
Education. Home?
This is where education really needs to take place.
Schools? Temples? Problems?
And I'm going a little long because at the same time I'm looking at the clock and I want to make sure that we have enough time. Yes, certainly there are many problems in doing anything. Srila Prabhupada told us, he said it's not easy. He repeated it. It's not going to be easy. It's very difficult. But he said it must be done. So that's the order, that somehow or another Varnashram must be done, and it needs to start with this idea of having qualified citizens. we need to train our devotees so that they're varnashramable, so that you can build on them, so that they're the type of bricks or cells, if you like, bricks that make a suitable building, cells that make a healthy body. Otherwise, to start with any type of other system, at least as far as I've understood up to now, is going to be premature. It requires that our devotees become qualified with the qualities that we find in Srimad Bhagavatam. And these qualities begin with truthfulness, austerity, mercy, and so on. Altogether, there are 30 qualities, 9 of which are the Nava Anga Bhakti, the 9 limbs of devotional service. And there are the 21 qualities which you can say are ethics, morality, dharma, which Narada Muni says, and Srila Prabhupada repeats. Every human being has to have these 21 qualities. And then Srila Prabhupada at the end says, they must all have it, and they must cultivate them. So how do we train our devotees? How do we educate our devotees to first be qualified instruments, qualified bases for Varnashram, so that they're willing to accept it? Because it's going to require a real demand of self-control, of simplicity, of satisfaction, which is one of the qualities. I realize that some of these qualities are much more important than others. So the whole idea of satisfaction. The world that we live in right now, wherever we live in, is based on don't ever be satisfied. Advertisement means feed greed. Education means make people greedy. If your neighbor has more than you have, you should try to have the same. But Krishna consciousness is something else. It means a certain level of self-control where we're able to ourselves and educate others so that we're satisfied with what's in our specific karma. Guna, karma, vibhagasa. What is our quota? And just to accept that and not sacrifice the time with our families and not sacrifice our Krishna consciousness to have a certain lifestyle. And so Narada will say, even if one is in poverty, one should not make excessive effort to work hard. So to become satisfied, we need to train and somehow or another explain to devotees. Otherwise, we can't build on them or we can't build with them. They require this type of training. And of course, this is what Prabhupada talks about when he talks about brahminical culture.
We don't have the qualities.
I don't have the qualities. I apologize for accusing anyone. But if we look at these list of qualities, they are really quite demanding.
Being convinced and convincing ourselves that this is our mission.
Before we start doing something, we got to be convinced that we're going to do it. Which, considering how revolutionary we are and how much we're willing to stand out against the flow of society, shouldn't be that difficult. But at the same time, we're conditioned. We're conditioned in that we did not come from Indian village life. We came from a very active, urban, consumer lifestyle, and that consumer lifestyle is still in our veins.
How is participation in Varnashram Dharma ensured?
Yes, who is part of society? There are outcasts. In other words, when people did not fit in to the Varnashram structure, they weren't part of it. So whether you call this the membership of the Krishna Consciousness Movement or the greater Varnashram Society, but ultimately you have to establish certain criteria. And when we read about qualifications, we always see these qualifiers are there. If someone doesn't fit in, then generally they leave the city or they go into the forest.
How is following enforced?
Earlier we saw that it was a good thing that we're not a state, but in another sense it's a bad thing that we're not a state. Because a state has one thing that we don't have, They have the powers of enforcement. And of course, GBC members and devotees in general know well that there are a lot of rules in our society. We have a lot of regulations, but enforcement is something that is really lacking. We don't have the same type of police enforcement, policing that the outside world has, because laws are only meaningful if there's some consequence to not following them. And when the person who has to be the policeman is your local GBC or your temple president, it's not what we join the Krishna Consciousness Movement for. Once again, is this actually really our varna? Is that our dharma for the person who's meant to be the leading spiritual figure to also be a policeman? Real conflict of interest, real conflict of benefit. And it shouldn't be done. But at the same time, we're in a real drawback, because we may have devotees who are kshatriyas, in other words, who are qualified leaders, and I don't mean people who like to fight with each other and do taekwondo and things like that, but people who feel responsible for others and who are able to lead others and take responsibility and guide. And yet at the same time, we live in quite a lawless land. In most cases, it requires voluntary adherence to rules and regulations. And once again, that's the business of Paramahansas. That's Satya Yuga, no Varnashram. All right.
Making the individual a sacrifice for internal economy.
I spoke about this. Do we sacrifice to establish a real economy?
Removing our own and public concerns about caste system.
This caste system is a real disease. It's the material perception or the materialization of this transcendental Sanatan Dharma, this eternal Dharma, this Varnashram Dharma. Just because it's there, it doesn't mean that we can't be talking about the pure form of it, and that the pure form is required. It's needed. Prabhupada's order, it's what Krishna set up, it's the way the world works. It's the mechanism of the world. The world works in a certain type of way. I'll just give one example over here. And what is... I pressed the button, right?
Yes.
What is actually the structure? This isn't exact, but it's about... What is the actual social structure in terms of varnas? Generally, what I've understood percentage-wise is that it goes like this. You have 1% brahmanas, you have 16% kshatriyas, sorry, 6% kshatriyas, 16%, 18% Vaishyas and 75% Shudras. This percentage is what Srila Prabhupada talks about. He says for every one Brahman, there's four Kshatriyas, for every Kshatriya, there's four Vaishyas, for every Vaishya, there's four Shudras. So if you add that up, 1, 4, 16, 64, that comes to 85. This is sort of the relative percentage. In fact, this is the right percentage. 1, 6, 18, and 75. A lot can be said about that. As I mentioned earlier, it means that this class, this many people, actually are under the guidance and supervision of these other three, because they don't know what to do with themselves. They may be biologically mature, but they're neither emotionally or mentally mature. Pretty controversial. Try and sell that to the world around us. But the real thing is that this type of, that here's an intellectual, here's four leaders, here's 16 Vaishyas, they may be the bankers, oh no, let's forget about the bankers, but anyway, they may be businessmen, and then there may be the real gauchers, and here are the laborers. When society is structured in this type of proportion, then it works. When you don't have the structure, then it doesn't work properly. And of course, communism means everyone's down here, and capitalism means that everyone should be here. Neither of them will succeed, neither of them have succeeded, because it's not Krishna's system. So, but still, we need to work at removing our own fears and public concerns about caste system. And that means it's not by birth. But yastrayal lakshanam proktam. It's by lakshana. It's by quality. Misidentifying devotees with a varna or ashram. Meg tudod nézni, hogy hol vagyunk, és hogy még mennyi van. This is something that, as Padma Purana quotes, this is a hellish mentality. It's also one of the risks of varnashram. It's something everyone's worried about. We're going to start going around calling each other shudras or brahmins or something like that. It's the risk to take. It requires education. Srila Prabhupada's concept of varnashram was always about educate, train, qualify people. So, I got Manjari looking something up, seeing where we actually are. Now let's focus on principles. Why? Well, Narada and Krishna do it, and everyone else does it. And so it seems that that's where Varnashram Dharma begins. It begins with the principles. It begins with the qualities. If people are not qualified, then you don't have the basis from which to build a structure. People are the building blocks, and as the American Constitution says, for the people, by the people, or by the people, for the people. I'm not American. And we can have farms and our other projects, but qualified people comes first. So the idea of, well, let's start Varnashram villages, or let's have lots of farms, and then we've gotten rid of this problem. But no, that's not what it's about. Vrindavan is not the place of Varnashram. It doesn't represent the full Varnashram picture.
You're 32 out of 52.
Many?
32, vagy az 52-ből.
Még 30.
A 20 dia.
Még van 20.
Még van az egész grihasta példa, a 30 tulajdonság.
Farms is not enough. Villages is not enough. We need first the people. We need to concentrate on the people. Because unless the people are qualified, then the projects will not first. So people come first, and it's qualified people. And now it seems like I'm a little behind, which was I thought I was going to be. So, Manjari.
Guna or qualities and karma or duties.
Hmm.
There are two kinds of guna and karma. Basic ones common to all members, 30, those which are additional to the 30, and those of the common qualities that are further emphasized. The former applies to all human beings.
So the qualities for which all humans have to fit are 30 in number. I'll show them in a minute. And when you have all of these 30s there, then when they're all cultivated and they're existing, then some of them will be in greater measure than others. And the combination of those that are in greater measure than others determines who is a Brahmin, Kshatriya, and so on.
The latter applies to the four different Varnas ashramas. Additionally, women's gunas and karmas are also included.
And women have different natures than men. That we should all admit, or rather we can say men have different natures than women, and as a result they have different type of karma. So of course the world we live in now, an egalitarian world, which means that in the United States everyone can become the president. Of course everyone's not going to become the president, but why can everyone become the president? Is everyone qualified to be the president? And what's the qualification for being the president? So in Vedic culture everyone cannot become the king. But those who are qualified can become the king. So the people should have work based upon their qualification. Another real revolutionary idea that, you know, we try and sell that to the world outside, let's try and sell it to devotees first, is that, are you really know who you are, what your conditioned nature is, before you take on some type of job, some type of employment in the outside world? Why not do something that you're actually capable of doing and qualified of doing. And once again, that means being satisfied.
Why? If people are the bricks of society, women are the stuff bricks are made of.
So, ladies are the thing which is the basis of society.
Time does not permit a full analysis of these qualities, so I will do a sampling. My presentations to Hungarian centers is the full one.
And certainly in the next few minutes, I'm not going to be able to do that. But here I'm just going to read this out for you, and you can read along. This is what everyone in Varnashram, these are the qualities everyone has to have. These are the general principles to be followed by all human beings. Truthfulness, mercy, austerity, observing fasts on certain days of the month, bathing twice a day, tolerance, discrimination between right and wrong, control of the mind, control of the senses, nonviolence, celibacy, charity, reading of scripture, simplicity, satisfaction, rendering service to saintly persons, gradually taking leave on unnecessary engagements, observing the futility of the unnecessary activities of human society, remaining silent and grave, and avoiding unnecessary talk, considering whether one is the body or the soul, distributing food equally to all living entities, both men and animals, seeing every soul, especially in the human form, as a part of the Supreme Lord, hearing about the activities and instructions given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the shelter of the saintly persons, chanting about these activities and instructions, always remembering these activities and instructions, trying to render service, performing worship, offering obeisance, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, and surrendering one's whole self. O King Yudhisthira, these 30 qualifications must be acquired in the human form of life. Simply by acquiring these qualifications, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a brick. This is the basis. This is the minimum. So are we training and qualifying our devotees to be a minimum? Well, if we have, I've never done it. In fact, I've never taken the course myself. And I'm working on it. I'm trying to study how do I relate to these qualities? How much are there? To what degree?
For that, there is no time for the specific qualities for the varnas and ashramas. So here are the grihastha's further qualities to be cultivated along with their appropriate duties.
I don't know how far I should really go. We've only got 5 minutes. This is meant to be an exercise in really analyzing the qualities or studying the qualities of the grihasthas. It talks about their work, how they should actually maintain themselves, their lifestyle, talks about the spiritual activities of grihasthas, because the majority of our society is all about grihastha life. So there's very few people who either remain lifelong brahmacharis or lifelong sannyasis. It's a contradiction in terms, isn't it? Anyway, who remain sannyasis. The charitable acts that they're supposed to do, and how they actually meant to cultivate. In other words, activities that you do to become a grihastha. How do we really qualify devotees? How do we train them? Are they willing to actually accept that type of basic criteria that Srimad Bhagavatam sets down for a grihastha? Or, of course, do we consider this is something for another time and another place? So these were the different qualities that are there, and also those things that were forbidden for grihasthas. Unfortunately, probably I would have needed another hour to take my time, not rush through this part of the presentation. And of course, this is why I chose the grihasthas, because they're the basis of society. Although we have other parts of the society, but in terms of ashram, there is the main bulk of the ashram, and they also in there in all the other four varnas as well. So, grihasthas, if we're just taking the grihasthas, they would need to actually accept these principles, learn them, cultivate them, assimilate them. And how do we do that? Well, we do that by education, which is something that in our movement we have become to take more and more seriously as time goes along. In fact, right now, although you can't see it, I'm in our college over here right next to the temple in Budapest. And that education is at home, in school, of course, I put the question mark. In Gurukula, we should be getting it, but do we have time to get to it? Here in Hungary, the legal requirements are so stringent that we have barely enough time to teach children Gita and other very basic Krishna conscious subjects. At our ISKCON centers, counselor or cell groups. And what's the result of qualified grihasthas?
Stable marriage, stable offspring, stable society, varnas and ashramas, stable social economy.
I don't have to tell you, we don't have this. And as a result of that, we're having devotees who are not necessarily stable, are some of our next generation devotees. Our society is not stable. We don't even have a social structure. We have a religious structure, as I mentioned, and we don't have a social economy.
Then is where Varnashram begins. Cultivating the qualities of the Varnas and Ashramas, accepting the underlying values they imply.
And I'm going to stop here, although there's more. We only have 2 moments. I emphasize the structure of the qualities of the basic structure, which is every member of society. And I don't have time, but that's another topic, is what's the qualities of a brahmachari. The grihastha was sort of zoomed over. What's the qualification for being a vanaprastha? What's the qualification for being a sannyasi? Actually, our sannyasi ministry does quite well on that. How do we train devotees in all of these things? And then similarly, brahmacharis, we have pretty good training. It's something that all of those who have lived in the temple have gotten brahmachari training, and that's quite thorough. But then how do we train, especially Vaishyas? How do we train devotees who are either leaving the brahmachari ashram and moving outside to live in the world? What are the standards? What are the codes of conduct? What are the types of work that one does? What are the ethics by which a Hare Krishna person works? Can we be recognized by that? Can we stand out for that? Can we be like the Mormons, where, for instance, any Mormon you can recognize from half a mile away? Why? Because he looks like a gentleman. And you can't necessarily recognize a Hare Krishna unless he happens to be dressed in these type of clothes, devotional clothes, from half a mile away. So we don't train Vaishyas. What are the standards of work? And of course, we do have leadership training. And that's something that we've been emphasizing a lot. And we need to train leaders. Question is whether all of our leaders are actually really leaders. We can train devotees to lead. But then there's another thing, is to, among those who we train to lead, who are real natural leaders, who are actually Kshatriyas and Brahmins. We have in New Vajradam 20 full-time Brahmins doing the worship of Radhashyama Sundar. If I go by this formula, then for me to have 20 Brahmins in New Vajradam, I have to have 100 times. That means I have to have 2,000 devotees living there. Well, we don't. Say we only have not even 200. Say we only have 1/20 of that. So actually, in New Rajadam, I've got 1 Brahmin doing Brahminical service and 19 devotees who are trained. They can be trained and they can do the things, but it also shows that they're not all Brahmins. They can be trained how to be clean, but it doesn't necessarily come naturally. And I know when I go visit their homes. When at home, they live just like they do at the altar, then I know this is a Brahmin. But when their home is something else, then it's just something that they've learned to do this service. That's the time I've got, isn't it? And I'm not going to keep everyone from prasadam. And I guess I should, I wasn't prepared for questions and answers. I thought it was a little technically challenging. Thank you all very much. And am I doing the right thing signing off? Because I'm just talking to a this little camera over here. And I wish I could be seeing all of the illustrious Vaishnavas.
Can you hear me, Maharaj?
So is it time to sign off?
Yes.
No?
What's going on? Thank you very much. We have meetings over here in addition to breakfast, so we do have to keep our schedule. But awesome presentation, and I do wish we had more time, and I'll be in touch with you about how to carry this forward. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I didn't understand what you said, but I realize my time is up.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jai Kishore Kishore Ki Jai. Igen, át kellett volna menni, meg menni marad.